I'd like to call to order the March 4th, 2026 open session of the Ventura Port District. May we have a closed session? Pledge of Allegiance. Jessica.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
And then, Jessica, may we have the roll call, please?
Yes. Commissioner Anderson?
Here.
Commissioner Stevens?
Here.
Commissioner Rainey?
Here.
Vice Chair Howell?
Here.
And Chair Blumenberg will be absent.
Thank you very much. Adoption of the agenda. Does anybody have any questions on the agenda?
I move approval as presented.
I'll second.
Move and second for approval of the agenda. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Any nays? Thank you very much. And approval of the minutes from the February 18 meeting.
I move we approve the minutes.
And I second.
Move and a second to approve the minutes as published. All those in favor? Aye.
Aye.
And any nays? Thank you very much. Then we move on to public communication for items not on the agenda. We have one that was sent in writing regarding the walking path across the director property. And if everybody's had a chance to read that. Moving on to closed session report.
The board met to discuss price and terms of payment with respect to the lease assignment of parcels 20 and 14. There were no reportable actions.
Thank you. Board communications. Does anybody have anything? Bill?
I'll report that I had a chance, as did you, to participate in the tenant reception. And, I thought it was my first time. It was very well run. I was impressed with the longevity and commitment of several of the tenants. It was an eye-opener, and I was pleased to participate and look forward to more.
Good. Tony?
Yes, I also attended, and I was extremely impressed at the longevity of some of our tenants and some of the stories they could tell about how they... it's developed. I would, and I'm always impressed at the way the staff gets out the marketing of it. Got some good feedback about the chowder, the $4 chowder, which unfortunately I wasn't able to but heard some of the trials and tribulations of some of the restaurants trying to make sure that the chowder stayed. It was gone pretty fast, but I think it really is putting us on the map, and I wanted to basically say thank you to staff and for the tenants and for the people that serve the chowder for marketing this.
Yes, it was the Ventura Harbor Village tenant reception last Thursday, and I think all but one of the commissioners managed to stop by or even stay for the whole thing. It was extremely well done by marketing and supported by the entire staff. I'm not sure I talked to every tenant, but I talked to a lot of them, and I got so much good news from all of them. It is wonderful to honor all of the long-term tenants we have, but also our new tenants. I think it helping keep the harbor relevant and keep people wanting to come. So, thank you. I think that ends board communications. Staff and general manager's report, please, Todd.
Thank you. Commissioner Rainey, I'll just let you know there was quite a heated battle as to who kept the chowder going the longest.
Andreas said they served 80 gallons of chowder.
And then Michael, at that point, called his manager and said, when we run out, give him my business card with a free cup of chowder if we're running out. And that was apparently at 8 o'clock, and then Tyler from Brophy said he went to both Vaughn's and bought all the sourdough bread they had so that he could keep up with his chowder. And he ran out at 8:30 p.m., he said. So very, very successful event. I heard so many, like, when are we going to do that again? So a really well-done event by our marketing team, absolutely. All right, in terms of the report, March is officially launched. The popular March is Mermaid Month Campaign with major festival-style events starting this Saturday, March 7th, and again March 21st from noon till 3 p.m. at Harbor Village. Be entertained and mermazed at all the activities and seaside fun for all ages this Saturday and on the 21st. Mermaid Month also highlights great mermaid merchandise at village shops. The special village tenants are offering shop, dine, and swim with the mermaid specials. Also included are additional live steel drum music during the weekends to inspire the seaside tropical vibe. Visit VenturaHarbor.com, HarborVillage.com for more Mermaid Month event details. In honor of International Women's Day on Sunday, March 8th from noon till 3, up-and-coming singer-songwriter Katie Ward shares songs from multiple genres as well as originals on the Village Promenade stage. And new Golden Hour Goods shop owner Natalie Kolikia is featured for an International Women's Day blog post on VenturaHarborVillage.com. A kickoff for St. Patrick's Day starts on Saturday, March 15th from 1 to 4 p.m. as the Village hosts the shenanigans for rousing reels and jigs. Plus, Boatyard Pub will also feature on Saturday, March 15th, the Renson Sessions, an 8-piece multi-generational Celtic band from 3:30 to 5:30 p.m.
Wow.
And on Tuesday, March 17th, for St. Patrick's Day, the Boatyard Pub hosts the traditional Ventura City Fire Department Pipe and Drum Band as they march through with a short performance from approximately 2 till 3 p.m. Definitely things to see if you haven't done it before. Dredging of Ventura Harbor was completed by the Corps contractor Manson Construction on February 15th. After moving nearly 350,000 cubic yards of sand, equivalent to about 30,000 dump trucks, onto our beaches, which now look beautiful. All equipment and fencing was removed last week, and at the same time, Manson worked with Hokulua Outrigger and Ventura Outrigger Canoe Clubs to relocate their old storage containers off the beach and onto Parcel 8 at the end of the spinnaker. New containers have arrived for both clubs, and they are relocating their supplies to the new containers before the old ones are removed later this month. And that concludes my report. Happy to answer any questions.
Yeah, was there any questions from the commissioners?
Just curious, past reports, signage for the Ventura Village was, I thought, tracking to be completed end of February. That slipped.
Which one? Sorry?
The Ventura Village signage on the...
Oh, the, at the entrance of Spinnaker?
Yes.
I think their letters are being manufactured. I don't know if Justin, no, Justin's not here. He's at the DRC meeting with the city. I think the letters are being fabricated right now, but the walls are all painted. I think the lighting is pretty much done, so it's really, I think, affixing the letters to the sign. But it should be pretty quickly completed.
Okay, thank you.
Anybody else? Moving on to the consent agenda, we have two items. The first one is regarding out-of-town travel requests. Two are for me. One is to go to the JPIA Elected Officials Summit in April in Chula Vista, and the other is to attend the CSDA Special District Leadership Academy in July in San Rafael. We have our general manager going to the CMANC spring meeting, as well as our deputy general manager. The second item on the agenda is approval of a new office lease with Innovate Reality, and we have a public comment from Stephen Henderson and Andrea Hertz from Innovate Reality. Please.
All right. And just hit the button to turn the microphone on.
This button right here?
Yeah, there you go.
All right.
You got it.
My name is Stephen Henderson, and I'm a real estate broker with Innovate Realty. The both of us have been in the business since 2015. I've spent the last 6 years at Sotheby's Realty. I was part of the Ventura office over on Main Street for 2 years, and then I left that office and joined an office in Channel Islands for the last 4 years. There's been some management changes at Sotheby's, so we decided to step aside because there was a lot of controversy going on at the management level. And we have joined up with this company out of, they're based out of Irvine, but they're wanting to expand and help support us in this area. And so we think this is a great opportunity for them and for us to, hopefully you guys will approve us as far as getting this office in the Ventura Harbor, and we plan to represent it and represent the Ventura Harbor as well as we can. And this is my fiance and future soon-to-be wife, and I wanted to introduce her, Andrea.
Hi, how are you? Both of us have a lot of history here in Ventura. He's born and raised here, and I spend a lot of summers here in the Ventura Harbor, so it means a lot to us if we could.
She's only from Santa Clarita, so it's not too far away. Yeah.
He likes to throw that out, and he likes to throw out that I'm older than him, so we can do that too. But we both love it here, and we hope that we can be part of the Ventura Harbor. Thank you.
Thank you very much. I think we're very happy to see you taking over that space and wish you good luck there.
We can't even believe this opportunity, so I'm sorry. We really appreciate this opportunity coming here and meeting you guys face to face, all of you. So, thank you.
Do we have any other public comment on the consent agenda items? Anything from the commissioners? Can we get a motion?
I move that we approve consent item A, approval of out-of-town travel requests, and B, approval of new office lease agreements with Innovative Realty, Inc., doing business as Innovate Realty.
And I say a second.
And we have a second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Congratulations and welcome to the village. Yeah.
I can't even put into words how much we really appreciate this opportunity.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Moving to the standard agenda, we have adoption of a resolution 3552 updating the Ventura Port District Human Resources Manual and rescinding resolution number 3526, a prior version.
Thank you. Oliver Yee is with us with LCW. Oliver and Jennifer worked with us to put this together. I'm just going to really quickly mention a couple of the areas of notable changes that's identified in your report. There's a new section specifically for on-call procedures and compensation for basically our hourly employees. This particularly applies to providing an opportunity for facilities to reward our staff and to have them ready to go throughout the evening hours.
Sorry, but thank you very much. Well, I appreciate you guys. I guess we don't want to stay.
You don't have to hang around.
Yeah. Well, once we get here, I'm going to come hang out with you. So, thank you very much.
There's a couple of other small changes to be conformant with certain state laws. Oliver might choose to cover. And then another major change is the addition of the cell phone policy. Oliver, did you want to make any comments on any of the particular items, or do we want to turn it over to the board for questions if they may have any?
Yeah, no, I don't have any additional comments. Basically, it's an annual review, some updates based on legal requirements and changes in law and alignment with the law, and also district existing practices.
Okay. Do we have any public comment? None in the room, any online? Commissioners, questions about this?
I have one, just a curious question, new guy. I didn't see anything in here related to telework. Is that not something that's done here, or that's a separate document?
So, go ahead.
It's a separate document. We have like a one-pager and then a form for employees who are able to telework for special circumstances to sign off on in their personnel files.
Okay, thank you.
But in essence, to answer your question, we don't provide blanket telework opportunity. It is a special circumstance, maybe someone's ill and it's better that they work from home. But a lot of our employees, particularly Harbor Patrol, the Marina Department, and facilities, don't really have that opportunity. And having passed through the COVID experience, I think the leadership realized that we work much better as a team when we're all here. And so it is certainly the administration's preference that we continue to do it that way.
Chris?
Yes. Excuse me, a couple. On page 33 of the agenda, send your callback.
Yes.
Under item 3, callback working compensation, the second bullet, can you just describe for me what that scenario is? I have a hard time following.
So, I'm sorry, under schedule and rotation, the second bullet addition?
The second bullet under callback work and compensation.
Okay. Okay, so an employee gets a phone call at 3 in the morning, you know, water backflow is leaking and someone needs to do something about it. The employee returns to work, they're going to get time and a half for having returned to work. Similarly, an employee gets called at 3 in the morning and they have to walk someone through how to turn off a valve, or, you know, like maybe Harbor Patrol can identify there's a problem but I don't know how to fix it, and the facilities person on call could say, just go here, open the door, twist this knob, and the water's off. For that time, they are also compensated time and a half. Partly the reason we do that, we've decided to do that, is because consistency of that makes it a lot easier for the accounting team. The frequency of these callbacks is extremely rare, but it's very important. The next part of that statement is that once you get woken up at 3 in the morning, we're going to pay you for 2 hours. And that's because we're just giving the staff the opportunity for, you know, the compensation for having to respond outside of their work hours. If you get a call, you work for 30 minutes, you're automatically getting paid for 2 hours. If you get another call 15 minutes later, it's not another 2 hours. It's extending it out. And then, yeah. Does that clarify what you were looking for?
So, yes, yeah. No, it's an unusual circumstance. But anyway, I was having a hard time following that. My other question is on page 44. So let me scroll down to it. Yeah, this is your, and this is on item 3, the personal holidays. And I mean, I think I understand what you're trying to do. This sense looks to me like it's adding a bit of a, I mean, is there a date upon which they actually accrue that? Right? They're accruing that on a certain number of hours that they work or something along those lines. This is awkward to me. I would prefer it not being there, to be perfectly honest. And I don't know what the other commissioners think about it. I'd like to leave it the way it was, which is every place I ever worked, that's how it worked. Use it or lose it.
I'll ask Oliver to comment on that, because that was, a point of serious discussion between LCW and staff. Oliver, you recall we talked about this. Jennifer had wordsmithed this. So.
We are the framework that you have now through these revisions. Aligns with the legal requirements surrounding holidays and the treatment of holidays. It doesn't substantively change, for all intents and purposes, you know, how holidays are being handled, so to speak. It's just a change from, you know, as you described it, use it or lose it framework, or at least language-wise, to one in which there is a cap to the number of holidays, which, again, will in the end mean that the employee has still 2 personal holidays per year to use. It's just that the language that we've now used in this revised manual aligns with how the law views this issue.
So, if I'm a full-time employee, when do I accrue that new day?
You automatically get both days on July 1.
July 1. So it's fiscal years. You're not
fiscal year. Yeah.
So if I automatically get them both on July 1, how am I? I don't understand how I'm carrying one over.
If you didn't use them as of June 30th of the next year,
you lose it.
The clock resets and you have 2. It's.
But you just told me you accrue the 2 immediately on July 1.
Right, but the ones you had, you can't have more than 2.
Correct. Okay, so you don't accrue them over time. You actually get those 2 personal days on day 1. So then this is no change at all.
It's a change in the wording.
Essentially, use it or you can't accrue anymore. That's, I guess, the.
It's not lose it. You just can't have
the way it works now is use it or don't accrue it.
So there's no change.
There's effectively no change except how it's worded.
Okay. To me.
I looked and you know Oxnard Harbor District SEIU agreement, it usually just guarantees a four-hour minimum for callbacks. And I see some other local agencies guarantee 3 to 4 hours for certain late-night calls. And our policy uses a 10% standby premium plus a two-hour overtime minimum per callback for response time, fitness for duty, and documentation. So this was what was negotiated?
There is no negotiation.
This was negotiated.
Because we don't have a union, so.
All right.
This is
non-union. This is non-represented.
Right. Okay, so it's just a callback minimums are different than I looked at Oxnard, Port Hueneme, on that.
And we use the city of Paso Robles and the city of Ventura for our models.
Okay. And then.
And I will say that, remember, the represented unit has an entirely different callback policy as part of their MOU.
Oh, all right.
So
that's good. That's good to know. Why the 10% standby plus 2 hour overtime minimum versus, let's say, Port Hueneme and Oxnard have a 3 to 4 hour minimums with no standby?
The board could direct us to do otherwise. This is what we determined based on comparables that we used.
Okay.
I mean, the standby says we know that you're not being allowed to drink and you're having to stand by. You have to respond within 30 minutes, so we're going to give you some extra pay for that.
Right. And the 2 hours only happens if you get a call. So once you receive a phone call, the 2 hour, you automatically are getting 2 hours of extra compensation.
Okay.
The standby and the 2 hours are not overlapping.
Right.
So as soon as you get the call, you stop getting the
standby.
The standby.
You're no longer on standby.
You are now working.
Right.
So.
And our payroll system is able to accommodate this.
Some of the language is purposefully simplified to make it easier for the accounting team. For example, having multiple rates, if you didn't arrive at work, if you did arrive at work, et cetera, there's, we purposefully simplified it to make it as easy as possible for accounting.
One more question. Any fiscal impact of this?
Yes, there would be fiscal impact because the intention of the facilities department is to put on someone on standby from 9 till 7 every night. We do not have anyone regularly on standby. Again, this is hourly employees, so our exempt employees, such as myself, such as Brian, Sergio, Matt, would not be subject to this. But this allows people, let's say, who are ready to jump up and twist wrenches and hit hammers, be ready to come out and take care of things. So it doesn't change our responsibilities to be available and do what we need to do, but it does, let's say, guarantee that someone will be, you know, as you said, you know, ready, hasn't had too many glasses of wine before bed and then ready to answer the phone and
actually,
get out here.
I think it said in here they couldn't drink while on standby.
They cannot, and they cannot, you know, too many, you know, no nighttime Tylenols or any of that sort
right.
of stuff. So it's really guaranteeing the availability of the staff. And in terms of fiscal impact, that has been factored in for, as part of the mid-year budget, we ensured that we had sufficient money to cover what the facilities team needs. In terms of additional, it is possible that other emergencies could require other people to be available who are, you know, non-exempt. That's a very unlikely situation other than perhaps Harbor Patrol, but it does blanket all non-exempt employees.
Okay, good. I thought it was a really good update, a lot of good thoughtful words in here, and usually I'm correcting a lot of things or suggesting changes. I have one very minor one, which is at the top of page 74, where you're talking about district employees should not interact with cell phones while an employee is driving in a district or personal car. That's fine, but what about a passenger? Are they also being... Or should it be just the driver is not allowed to interact with the phone? Because the way it's written, it says anybody in that car is not allowed to. Well, it doesn't specifically. It says District employees should not interact with cell phones while an employee is driving a district or personal vehicle in the performance of their duties. What if you're not driving? What if you're a passenger? Are we...
Okay, while that employee, I guess, maybe is the wordsmithing we need to do. No, that's a good catch.
It's
a
tiny wordsmith, no, but I think it's important.
I understand. Yeah, no, I see the confusion potentially being made that change. Yeah.
But the header is use of cell phones while operating a vehicle.
Right.
So everything applies to that header.
It's still a
good point.
It wouldn't hurt to clarify it. But no, I thought they were all well written out. I didn't see anything that I thought was so confusing that I wanted to rewrite it all. So
thank you for that. And thank you for the catch.
Is there anything else on this item?
You know, to kind of follow up on Tony's question that you said you looked to the city of Venturas, which I think is a great idea. I think to the extent we can align ourselves with that, I think the better. What is their percentage? Is it also 10%?
So the city of Ventura does a daily stipend, and since we did not know, we didn't like the idea of it just being a fixed dollar amount because it can vary. Sergio may have someone, yeah. So we wanted to stick to hourly, and so that's where we got that from Paso Robles. We got a lot more of the language from Paso Robles' policy, but we did look at both of those. All right. Give credit to Sergio for having dug those up. So we had a couple of different ways that we looked at it, but I think that we landed on something we felt pretty good about.
Okay.
Did we have direction on... Tony mentioned it. I just want to make sure we're good on the compensation component.
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
Good. That's a good clarifying question. All right. Do we have a motion?
Move the recommended action with the addition of the one minor change that brought up.
I know exactly where it is. Yep.
Second.
Okay, this is a roll call vote.
Commissioner Anderson?
Yes.
Commissioner Stevens?
Yes.
Commissioner Rainey?
Yes.
Vice Chair Hull?
Yes.
Vote carries 4-0.
Terrific. And our last item on the agenda tonight, approval of Amendment 1 to the MOU with CEIU representing all regular full-time and part-time Harbor Patrol officers.
Great. You have a slide on this one, right?
Yeah.
So at the time that the MOU was approved by the board and negotiated with the SEIU, we created a labor/management committee where the labor team, represented in this case by Garrett and Mason, meet quarterly with myself and Brendan. And we've had some very, very fruitful conversations, particularly focused around the creation of a Harbor Patrol 3 officer position. I think, as you know, the general manager has done a lot of work to try to create additional promotional opportunities throughout the organization. And we collectively agreed that this is something that we wanted to see happen. And we worked with this staff to make sure that there was a sense of pride and accomplishment. There's some standards in terms of examinations that they agreed to. Brendan did a great job developing that, and it's been shared with them. And then also a sense of responsibility that comes with the additional duties, special assignments specifically, that the harbor master may at any time, you know, craft what he needs in terms of a special assignment that does have to be approved by the general manager. I think collectively we all agree that really shows a greater sense of accomplishment and ownership of that position. And it was a very, very productive discussion. How that is manifest is a side letter to amend the MOU, and that's been negotiated by the committee. The representatives, the stewards of the Harbor Patrol officers have signed off on that. You have the unsigned version in your report. And there's also a salary range that's established and a guarantee compensation increase that goes along with that. And then there was other items that were in the MOU that Officer Donahue identified as things that are, when we did negotiate the old MOU, that we just didn't get to those items because they were non-controversial at the time, but we realized that those things were a little out of date in terms of practice. For example, the Harbor Patrol is a 24-hour operation now, but that was not reflected in the old language. And then we don't issue things like pepper spray and handcuffs to the Harbor Patrol officers, so that was altered as well. So altogether, I think it was a really productive discussion, negotiation. We're really excited about the additional opportunities for the team. We believe that they're equally excited about it. Oliver, anything you'd like to add?
No, I think good job summarizing it, and yeah, I think it was a byproduct of a good collaborative effort with your labor management committee.
And yeah, and I'll just say again, thank you to Officer Winter and Officer Alfred, because you know, they're really, really thoughtful in their ideas. They did a lot of work when they came back with their recommendations for things for us to consider. And of course, Officer Donahue for, again, preparing the exams and his support in getting this across the finish line.
Thank you very much. Do we have any public comments in the room, any online? Commissioners? Bill?
Yes, just a quick question. In attachment to Article 4, it talks about what we just talked about, the HR manual, Human Resources Manual. There's a clause or a sentence in there that, in the second paragraph, that, as I read it, says that if there's a conflict between the HR manual and what has been agreed upon with the union, that the union's agreement is deemed controlling. Have we had that situation before, or is there anything in these changes that we just approved in the HR manual would suggest that will happen as a byproduct?
No, you do remind me that we have had, I'll say, more contextual issues between the two. Most of the items that are in the most recent update are technically applicable to them. For example, the on-call callback policy is already in the MOU for the Harbor Patrol. They have their entirely different language for that. There is special provisions for operating a motor vehicle in an emergency. John could probably elucidate to that if we need to. But I have worked with the SEIU on HR manual reviews before, and it's, we have had things that they didn't like, but that's generally not been a problem.
Thank you.
Chris, anything? Tony?
I want to commend both management and staff on this. I think they gave the board a predictive model, if you will, in terms of the budget on the org chart, what was needed in terms of Harbor Patrol. It was explained to us what we needed to attract and retain staff in this, what the work demand was. They didn't just sit there and go, oh, well, how are we going to do it? They actually came up with a plan in order to do this and alerted us that this is going to take resources and changes in the way we do things. And I just wanted to let you know I really appreciate that it wasn't one of these, oh, well, you know, if you really want this, you're going to have to come up with this. You guys really went out there and did that, particularly with the bargaining units also. So I just want to say I appreciate this.
I have to echo what Ms. Rainey said, that you know, you had us well prepared for it, and it looks like it's well negotiated out, well thought out. I might suggest one little word change if it's not too late.
I thought we already got your change in last
Article
time.
14, the very first line, it says the harbor master has the ability to assign. I might change that to the authority to assign, but that's literally the only change I have. And I'm not going to cry if you say it's too late to change it.
I'll defer to Oliver on that one.
We've done that in the past where we made
non-substantive changes.
Changes like that, and it's fine.
I can't imagine that the unit members would take issue with that, but I will review that with them as well. back to your two comments, I think, you know, Chief Higgins would probably say that what you're praising is only possible because of the support the board has given to the public safety unit of the district. So I think this is very much us responding to your vigorous support for that part of our organization.
Well, thank you very much. Do we have a motion on this item?
I move the recommended action with the additional direction to staff to change that one word if it's okay.
Understood.
So second.
It's a roll call vote.
Actually, it's just voice vote.
Oh, okay.
I forgot to change that.
All right. Voice call. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. And any against? In that case, that's all the business we have this evening, and we are...
Have an announcement. I was just been told by our general manager that the city's design review committee approved our commercial fisheries modernization project.
Fantastic. I was hoping we'd have word on that before we adjourn. So perfect timing. And we stand adjourned.
Thank you.
Thank you.